The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
There he is. Welcome back to look at us. I got the jacket on today. You got the tie on today. We look like we're ready for success, my man. He is Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. Yes, we are. And of course, this is called the UAB Director's Chair, a little podcast we do every single week right here with, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who puts it all together for the UAB Blazers. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
I'm excellent. Yeah, doing great, man. How you doing?
What's up? What's it like for an AD now that your two major sports, obviously, how many sports has UAB got? 18, 37?
No, 18,
right? 18 sports, yeah. So obviously you got a lot going on and it goes throughout the entire season. There is no reason for the season when it comes to sports because it is the reason for the season. It's all year. But when your two big dogs are over, essentially, college football and then basketball ending just last week. What's it kind of feel like? Do you exhale? Do you take a deep breath? What do you do?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, baseball and softball are the two busiest sports now at this point, and they play a ton of games.
Yeah.
And so we're in the middle of those seasons. Those will run through another, you know, call it 6-8 weeks, something like that, depending on how well they do, you know, tournament wise. If they could continue into June, if they made it to the World Series, theoretically. So those are heavy, you know, and you start a lot of planning. You know, we've got our spring showcase, our football spring showcase on Saturday here at our football practice facility at 10 a.m. It's a free event. I hope everybody will come out.
Love it's at the practice facility, by the way. Love that.
Yeah, I think what we're going to be able to do is create a little bit more of a carnival style atmosphere, family friendly festival kind of thing. Good. Food trucks and bouncy houses, and you know, and it'll be interactive with the players. You know, post game, we're going to let everybody go onto the field, the what I'm calling the game field, where Legacy Pavilion is. That's where we'll have the, you know, the football parts, and we'll let everybody come out and take pictures with players. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And then we have baseball and softball at home later on that day. So we got a lot going on. Dragon egg hunt on the baseball field. We've done that for several years. That'll be after the baseball game on the baseball field. So that's a lot of fun, too.
It's going to be fantastic. Lots going on down the UAB campus. Check them out to UABSports.com. UABSports.com. All right. So something I do every week before we do the show, I like to find out, you know, we talk a lot about stuff at UAB, obviously, but I want to know what's going on in college sports. And, man, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
West Virginia President Gordon Gee has said we're in an existential crisis in college sports right now. Syracuse Chancellor said the current model for governing and managing college athletes is dead. This group has come out and wants to create something called the Super League. And I know you've already read about it. It is 7-10 team leagues with an eighth league that's kind of like a promotional league. This is kind of built like the European football leagues, which I'm not against. But it does have 70 teams, including Notre Dame and SMU, but it also would include all 130 teams with the opportunity to be promoted up into that topper tier so they can compete for a national championship. There would be no committee to pick teams. It would all be based on wild cards and how you finish in your particular league. And the other thing I think is really interesting is that universities would actually have a piece of this pie. They would actually own a piece of that pie. And yes, it would be based on, you know, how much money you're putting in, how much money you're getting out. So obviously an Alabama would earn a little bit more than, say, a New Mexico State, just based on how successful they are in their league. Just right off the bat, I know you hear a lot about these things well before the rest of us do. So you probably knew this has been out there for a long time. Your initial thoughts on a Super League in college sports?
Well, I think they're, you know, I appreciate people thinking. I think that's what's most important is people are talking about new ideas and talking about ways to creatively, you know, balance competition. We've gotten away from the spirit of competition by engineering the fact that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get all the college football playoff money, basically. So you should not be surprised that they will be more successful. If you engineer it that way, well, then of course, I think the arrogance of the people involved in this Super League discussion to say that, that what's basically the group of five, that we could perform at a level to move up into that league. I think that's, nice.
And by the way, once you get in that league, you stay in that league.
No, you can be relegated. The G5
The G5 cannot.
We can get promoted up. We can be relegated out.
But once you're in those top 70, you're in.
The top 70.
Yeah, top 70,
The 70 that start,
correct.
They're always in.
Yeah.
So even if UAB goes in and kicks the stew out of them every single year, whatever determination they come up with that we could be relegated, let's say we go in and we beat Iowa State all the time and whatever, they don't ever get relegated, but we have one bad year and we're out.
Yeah.
So, again, if people engineering this thing a certain way, it's kind of hilarious because – The truth of the matter is, Tony, they're just so terrified of us. They're terrified to play us. They really are. They hate playing us. That's why we have such a hard time getting any of these Power Four teams to come to Bartow Arena. They're not coming here. Now, they'll play us at their place.
Yeah.
They might play us on a neutral site, which is hard to do. They're never coming to Bartow. So when our fans go, how come we can't get anybody in the SEC to come play us? Because they're scared.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Don't look anywhere beyond that. They're terrified. We all get the same data. And the data is that I might be off a percentage or two here, okay? But the data shows us in basketball that if a Power Four team, if we play them, if a Group of Five team plays at the Power Four, we have about a 15% chance of winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
If we get them on a neutral site, that jumps up to like 29%. If we get them at our place, it's like 45% chance. Mm-hmm. It's still not even 50% chance.
Yeah.
But think of how different that is than if you played them at their place.
Sure.
They have that same data. So we're trying like heck to get them here. They're trying like heck to not play us here. And if we're lucky, we get them on a neutral site, which is why we play these games. You hear them, there are these Thanksgiving tournaments.
The Asheville series, which was nice.
Last year, we went to Asheville and played Clemson in Maryland because we get them in what's called an MTE, multi-team event. You get them at an MTE somewhere, and then you got to play them. And they kind of have come to the place where they know they're going to have to do some of that. But even some of those teams, Tony, they'll go into those tournaments and they'll say, hey, we'll play in that tournament. I'm a Power Four school. We'll play in your tournament, but only if we only play other Power Fours.
Yeah.
Because if they were to lose to a G5 team in that tournament, which they know they might, their fan base will not accept that. Obviously, their fan base wants them to win anyway, but it's the fragility of their own job security. It can be understood that Georgia can lose to Illinois, but they can't lose to UAB.
Oh, and by the way, UAB
won't accept that, by the way,
UAB had Clemson down by 9 there in Asheaville.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
So you know that's just the reality of the deal, and they'll even write it into their contract. It's unbelievable. We've had situations where we did get a Power Four team to come here, but they wrote in the contract that we had to use their conference officials.
Yeah.
That was the only way we get the game.
Yeah.
So we go, all right, because we're so desperate to get the game in Bartow, can we also buy you sandwiches? What do you want? You want sandwiches, hot sandwiches? We'll get you hot sandwiches.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get it from the big boys league too. I mean, if you were in a Power Five or Power Four, you'd be doing the same thing on your end. You got to protect your school. You got to protect your home. And
your job is to worry about you. Yeah,
exactly. And a win for you would be huge. A loss for them would be even bigger. But a win for them is not that big of a deal. And then you throw in the concessions and everything you get for having a home game at the Bartow Arena. Certainly plays well for you. UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram joined us here. We're talking about the Super League. let me back up for a second. We are in an existential crisis. The governing and managing of college athletes is dead. That's according to the Syracuse Chancellor and the West Virginia President, Gordon Gee. True? Let me ask you, if nothing changes right now, if everything stays the same right now, nothing changes, is it dead? Are we going down a rabbit hole? Or is this just pure knee jerk again?
The problem we've got, Tony, to sort of partially agree and disagree with that president, is we don't handle enforcement right. The NCAA doesn't handle enforcement right. In its interest in being completely fair and judicious, which I appreciate. I've been in those meetings. I've been in those infractions conversations with former institutions. They work too slow, and they don't involve the right people. So using the NFL as an example, mm-hmm. when the Deflategate thing happened, we remember these sign-stealing, Deflategate, allegedly sent somebody to another person's practice to film practice. We remember these like one-off things in the NFL because they don't happen often.
Yeah.
They don't violate their rules often. You know why they don't? Because if a situation were to arise, the NFL sends an army of investigators to whatever Kansas City, Dallas, Los Angeles, whatever the team is. They send them there. They're there for a few weeks. They investigate the heck out of it. They talk to and meet with more people than they could ever dream of. They quickly get together. The investigators themselves know a lot about the sport. So they are, in some cases, former coaches, former players that are involved mm-hmm. that know the questions to ask.
Yeah.
And then they come out with a ruling. Within 3 weeks, they go, hey, here's the deal. We found that you did this, and you can appeal that if you want. But here's the deal. You're going to be fined this much because the owners agree that this is what the fine policy is. So the policy's there. You agreed to it. End of discussion. And coach so-and-so, player, whoever, are suspended.
Yep.
And you don't like it, who cares? Mm-hmm. You're not leaving the league. That doesn't happen in college. The problem in college is you get a football coach for some infraction, you know, and they go up there to Indianapolis and the infractions case is happening. They've got this hearing and the people in the room don't know the questions to ask. The people in the room aren't other football coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So the football coaches might be able to say, if you were one, they'd be like, well, I know exactly what to ask Tony. Did you ask him this or this or this? Oh, no. Why not? Well, we didn't know to ask that. That's right, because you're the faculty athletic rep from school U, and your main job is that you're a botany professor and you're an awesome person who loves sports, and I appreciate you, but you don't recruit and you don't coach.
This is like when Hollywood came to Capitol Hill to talk about AI.
Yeah.
And the senators and House members were trying to ask questions and they had no clue what to ask.
They don't know what to ask.
Yeah.
Listen, and that's not their fault, right? Like, to be very clear for the infractions committees and enforcement people, it's not their fault that they didn't coach, but it's the system that we've created to where we don't have the right people doing that. And so we don't enforce fast enough. We don't stick strictly to it because we don't have the right, I think, mechanism in place. I don't think it takes a lot to fix that. And so people are like, man, I'll break whatever rules I want to break because by the time they catch me or try to enforce it, I'll be two jobs away from now. Yeah. I'll be so far gone. And the athlete who committed the violation with me, they're already in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, whatever, or not. You know, they've moved on. And then they hit the school. So now you got the school is penalized and the coach who did the thing is gone. The athletes are gone. And the only people that really get penalized are the team now who had nothing to do with it. They don't even know the people you're talking about.
It seems to me that the biggest, it seems to me, and obviously being a fan of UAB, which is considered a Group of Five school, the biggest sticking point to me is how to figure this thing out where everyone has an opportunity to vie or play for a national championship. And we're certainly talking about the basketball. You have 350 teams, and in college football, you only have 130 or 140. I appreciate the fact that the Super 7 group is trying to figure out a way to get everyone involved because all 130 are going
to
be
trying to get themselves involved.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the initial thing is all 130 teams are in. That's what they're selling. They're selling it right. As 130 teams. You're all in. You all have a shot. Now these 70 are going to be in this tier. They're never going. Exactly. They're not going anywhere. And then we're going to give you a chance to jump into this little middle league area, this eighth thing, which I don't really understand the European football model.
Right.
And then perhaps be regulated up. It almost sounds like high school football with classes. It almost feels like that. And in that particular case, you really don't want to go
from European football league. If you do well enough, you could move up.
Yeah.
And be a part of it.
But, yeah. But you could also move down. And so I get that. I understand that. And I don't know if there is a perfect answer for this. And I don't know if there's any type of responsorial type of answer to a way of getting all teams on equal footing, because you're not on equal footing. You're not financially. You're not rating wise. You're not television revenue. And so I get that. And I guess the way it is now, it's about as close as you can get to getting opportunity to having in a group of five rated team to get into the playoffs and everything else. And we'll certainly see how that goes with the 12 or 14 teams next year. But I mean, is that the biggest sticking point for a school like you? Because there are a lot more. Here's the thing: there are a lot more group of five schools than there are D1s. I mean, it's 70-30, 70-50, 70-40, whatever. But I mean, as far as the little guys go, to me, that's what makes college football go for me.
Yeah, we're about half and half of the P4 and the group of five. That's about 50-50.
But if you throw in the D2s and all those other schools,
basketball?
Well, yeah.
360 basketball teams.
Yeah.
Division one basketball teams. And so that's why, you know,
like there's a lot more little guys out there than big guys.
Oh, yeah.
There is. Just correct. Period. So then that's kind of what I meant.
In basketball, I'm sorry, I was thinking football. But in basketball, 100%.
So, yeah. So you have to figure out a way to appease those little guys and make those little guys happy, because they are what makes make college sports go.
I agree. I mean, when you watch the basketball tournament, I realize now that, you know, the Final Four is set. UConn's coming out of the Big East. NC State, it was the 11 seed out of the ACC, who miraculously won the ACC tournament to basically get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And they're a brand that you don't think of as being a little guy.
They won five games in 5 days. Yeah.
In this particular year, they weren't probably getting in the tournament if they didn't win the ACC.
Correct.
So here they are. They found their way to the Final Four, which says there's more teams out there that are capable of winning this thing than just 64 that are current or 68 that are currently allowed to get in it. I'm a proponent. I think I've said it here. We should double the field to 128. That's only one game. It's only one game.
Yeah.
It's the same one game that we're doing in Dayton, Ohio for the play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same one game. You know, for the naysayers to go, well, when would we do it? Let me explain something to you. We can do anything we want to do.
Yeah.
We can find excuses and reasons to not do anything we
couldn't go over 11 games in college football. Now we're playing 15. Well, right. The kids have to practice and they also have to school. You know, what about Christmas vacation, right. Blah, 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 blah. We've added four more games. And I mean, right. No one's pitching a fit about that.
We can do anything we want to do.
Yeah. And I mean,
if we want to do it. We can do it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, as much as I love college hoops, there's one thing I don't like about it. It's too damn short. I can't believe I'm saying this, but every time everyone plays, you're cutting the field in half.
The tournament's awesome.
And it's incredibly awesome. But I'm sitting there, I'm waiting on later on tonight because I want hoops. I want Thursday night hoops, and I ain't got no hoops tonight. I'm going crazy. And I gotta wait till two games on Saturday and then it's over. I mean,
the awesome of the tournament though is that we were in it, and San Diego State and St. Peter's and Baltimore County, you know, Maryland, Baltimore County and Loyola, and that's the awesome of the tournament. Grambling,
absolutely,
getting their first, you know, win ever in the tournament. Like, that's what makes it awesome.
Mm.
You know, there's certain talking heads that are like, no, not really. It's really just about Kansas and Indiana. No, it really is not.
No.
It's about the opportunity for those smaller teams, smaller budget teams, to come in and show you, hey, man, we can play too. And if you don't guard us, you're going to learn.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's fun about it, man. That's what makes it great.
UABsports.com. He is the athletic director, Mark Ingram. He's going to be joining us here on ABC 3340 a little bit later on this weekend here. Joining us, you're double dipping today. You're going to be recording some TV stuff on ABC 3340 today with Kip Keeper and myself.
I got a face for radio, though, Tony. I don't know about that.
Well, you're going to have one for television today, too. So get ready for that. Coming up on Monday, I'm an astronomy guy. I'm a father of three. When I heard the International Space Station was flying over my house like 2 years ago, I set up a table and chairs outside with lemonades, and the whole family sat outside to watch this thing go over 17,000 miles an hour, 34 miles an hour, and it was amazing. Okay? just a blinking light, but it was amazing to say we saw it. So I'm into the moon, and I'm into the bright ruby red moon and the ruby red sun, and I'm into the eclipses. And I swear this giant eclipse we just had, like in 2017, it was supposed to be the last eclipse we were going to have for 3,000 years. And here we are having another eclipse. And I swear, I think we're having another eclipse next week. Everyone keeps telling me this is the last eclipse we're going to have for the next 500 years. And then it seems like the next year we're having another eclipse. Am I wrong here? We got more eclipses like in the last 4 or 5 years than we've had in the history of the entire world. Anyway.
You got to get your special glasses out, man. Don't be staring at the sun.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway. So I'm excited for Monday only because I know there is a path of totality, which I think is one of the coolest things ever heard, the path of totality, which goes right through the middle of the United States. We weren't even close to that. I think we were like 85% tier for the last thing. And I honestly remember being on my driveway, and I noticed that the shadows of the sun were kind of cool because they looked like little smiley faces. They were all over. It was kind of cool. It only lasted about 30 seconds, at least in my household or my driveway. But I remember thinking to myself, if someone didn't tell me this was happening right now, I would have never known. It wasn't like the world stopped, you know, and the dinosaurs started running for the tree. But it was no big deal. So I don't know what this thing's gonna be like on Monday, despite the fact it's 85, because it almost has to be a thing of totality for it to really be effective. Now I understand that if you are in the path of totality, it is a spiritual experience. It's like the Northern Lights. I mean, you got people from the Weather Channel crying. Yeah, Jim Cantore, who's seen thunder snow 16 times, he's crying on air. I mean, that's how spiritual this experience is. My biggest problem is Bonnie Tyler. Total Eclipse of the Heart. The song Total Eclipse of the Heart from Bonnie Tyler. Now, I've got that song.
Turn around, Bright Eyes. Turn around.
I've got that song on a K-Tel album. It was called Circuit Breaker.
Remember the old K-Tel?
Oh, yeah. I was looking through them a couple days ago. Yeah, they're going for like $19.99 on eBay. So I got this K-Tel album called Circuit Breaker. And that song, Total Eclipse of the Heart, was on it. And the only reason I bought that album was because Bonnie Tyler was gifted in a lot of areas of her life. She's a very attractive woman. And at least on this picture, this promo picture they had on the album, it was like, wow. And I was like 12 or 13 when I got the album. Hate the song. Hate that song. I hate that song. And I know that song's going to be played all over the place.
Yeah.
Every time you turn the TV on, you're going to hear it. Every time you turn on the radio, you're going to hear it. Every time you're at a sporting event, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear Total Eclipse of the Heart. I think the last eclipse we saw, I was at an Alabama football game, was last year. There were some eclipse.
And then you fall apart.
So I want you to give me today here on the UAB Director's Chair songs that you hate. I mean, songs that is there anything that you loathe? Like every
Macarena.
Time you Macarena?
Ugh. I don't like anything where you got a line dance. If it's a line dance song, I don't like it. But
you're not a line dancer.
I will go to the bathroom for 4 minutes to avoid the Macarena. I'd rather stand in the stench of the bathroom at a ball game than to hear 2 seconds of that song.
I was sitting at a Moe's barbecue yesterday with my daughter. She had a doctor's appointment and Dream On came on. I cannot stand that song.
Aerosmith, Dream On?
I don't know why. I love Aerosmith. I brought them on. I love the band. I think the song, and if you love that song, I think it's great that you love that song. I'm glad people like that song. I mean, I like the fact that people love Taylor Swift and they love Celine Dion. It's just not my type of music. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not being soccer fan here. How could you not like this? This is great. I'm not going to be that guy because I understand music and I understand that you may love a song and I may not like it, and that's okay. And I don't know why there's particular songs that I just cannot like.
There's certain versions of that song that are better. Like they did one with a full orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
It was really powerful.
Yeah.
It's more, you know, they redid the song and it was better than the original, but they bring in the power of that full orchestra pit, man. And that was pretty great.
I just hear the first couple notes and I'm like, oh. And I don't know why. I really don't. It came from a good time in my life. I get this on the K-Tel album. You would think it would bring back some great memories. Is there any other songs you can think of that when you hear it, I mean, is there a classic rock song that like 10cc's I'm Not in Love? I'm not in love. Don't forget. I cannot. That's every time I hear that song, it just gets, it grates on my nerves to the last end. I mean, I cannot even sit. And most of these songs I had to play during my career on the radio. So I would do everything I could to run the hour long. You know, I would talk extra long just so we wouldn't have time to play that song at the back end of the hour.
Is it time for us to create a new, we need to go back to, maybe that's a next week's topic. Let's talk about the song. Give me a minute. Let me think about some stuff I hate about Macarena. Because that is definitely one that I hate.
Think about some songs that would surprise me. I want to hear a Slaughter song. I want to hear something from God.
I want to hear stuff like that. Okay.
All right. Have that for next week. I want to hear some songs that people would, because I mean, a lot of people, my daughter is 11. And I said, do you know this song? She said, yeah. And I said, how do you know this song? She goes, I hear this song everywhere.
Warrant, Cherry Pie.
All right. All right, I want to hear a list of these songs next week. Give them to us. Tell everybody how they can find everything that's going on at UAB and what's happening now with the baseball team, softball teams, what sports are going on right now you want people to come out and see.
Yeah, come check us out, baseball and softball. And this weekend, we've got, like I mentioned earlier, the football spring showcase at the practice facility. Parking is free around campus. Admission is free. And we're going to have a lot of kids' games and food trucks. And you'll be able to get out really close to the team on the field. Feel free to bring a lawn chair, you know, like an umbrella chair. Good. Bring one with you if you like. We're going to set up under the pavilion, but the weather's going to be gorgeous. And then from there, after you spend time with our team and take pictures, you can walk across the street to baseball and softball. We're going to have a lot going on over there, too. We're going to have some other inflatables for kids. Really a great day for families to be able to come out and spend time with the Blazers. It'll be a good time.
Fantastic. USSports.com, UABSports.com. Check out their websites, everything, and make sure you check out this show. Show's doing fantastic. And, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major indice right here. And check out Mark. He's going to be on ABC 3340, 10:30 this Saturday morning with Kip Kiefer and myself, Tony Curry, show called The Starting Lineup right here on Tony Curry Radio. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.